This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, Macca, we need to move on. We have a guest waiting for us on the line as we speak.
Yes.
We have the wonderful, we all know this person extremely well, Ghassan Kassisi, who's the Legal Director of Equality Australia. Good morning to you, Ghassan.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you back on the airwaves. I'm much better now for hearing your voice.
Yes, Tass has been waiting all morning for this, Ghassan. No, he has. Oh, he has.
Ghassani is exaggerating somewhat. Now, Ghassan, the reason we've asked you to join us on here this morning is because we did see that One Nation...
One Brain.
I'm not going to name the specific Member of Parliament, but a Member of Parliament from One Nation decided to attack members of our community yet again in Parliament. Of course, they do this under legal privilege. Could you explain to our listeners this morning, please explain to our listeners this morning, what in fact occurred? I couldn't resist that. Please explain.
So currently the Senate is considering a third motion from One Nation to establish an inquiry into gender-affirming healthcare for young trans and gender-diverse people. And the terms of the motion are effectively all one-sided and directed at the kinds of culture wars that, you know, we're seeing in the US and the UK. It's in another attempt, really, to bring that to Australia through another public inquiry that will scrutinise trans and gender diverse people, undermine their right to healthcare, and again question, you know, what they tell us and who they are, rather than someone else telling them that they feel better in place to tell them who they are and what their needs may be.
And what makes this different is that it's being debated, whereas on previous two occasions, it's just been shut down.
Yeah, so we've got, thankfully, the government senators are opposing the motion, as are the Greens, and as are, we would expect, a number of the crossbench. The Nationals have voted to support the motion, and the Liberals have granted their members a conscience vote. So we do expect the motion will be defeated, but that's right. This is the first time that we're hearing, it might not actually be the first time, but it's certainly the last motion wasn't debated in this way, but now we're having a debate. The Senate has risen, so it comes back at the end of July, and I would expect to see some further speeches before a vote.
Here we go, attack our people again. So explain to me, Ghassan, why is it that this, on this occasion, the debate's been allowed to proceed?
Well, it is just a motion to start an inquiry, and so like any motion, it can be debated on the floor of the Senate. Thankfully, though, and you know, to the credit of the government and all of those members from the Liberal Party, the Greens, who stood up, there's also been very strong speeches in support of our community. And people can see this for what it is. This is not a good faith inquiry into gender-affirming healthcare to improve access or to improve outcomes or to improve the health and well-being of members of our community. This is an attack on trans and gender-diverse people, and that's been reflected, I think, in the tone of many of the speakers who've spoken already.
And I mean, it's not just the One Brain Cell Party. It's also Senator Babbitt, or Senator Babbel, I call him. There seems to be...
Do you want to say who that senator is?
United Australia Party, the $100 million man. Some of these contributions, I feel, Ghassan, they're based on misinformation. They're not based on facts, but they're actually based on discrimination and hate. And I wonder what possible role can that play in our parliament? It concerns me greatly, because when people see and hear the sort of things that are being said, it's almost like, oh, it's actually, it's okay. This is, you know, this is being said in the federal parliament or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I've been in my role at Quality Australia since 2019, and over that time, the amount of distress that I've seen amongst trans and gender diverse members of our community and the leaders in trans organisations that are on the front line, seeing the distress that's coming through in phone calls and emails and media requests. I mean, this is a really serious issue, and you're absolutely right about the misinformation. What I would say is what's worrying me now is good, reasonable people who have not always the worst intentions. They're in fact, you know, are concerned for the health and welfare of young people, which they should be, are being bombarded with messages that are at best half-truths, sometimes deliberate lies and misinformation, sometimes disinformation. And we need to ask, what's the agenda behind this? This is not just a neutral inquiry into, you know, the health of transgender people. These are coming from places where there's really only one answer that they want to hear, and they're not listening to the voices of trans and gender diverse people. And the Parliament is not going to offer us any more information about how we improve the healthcare of trans and gender diverse people in this sort of scenario where people are being demonised and attacked and questioned about their right to exist and be who they are.
Because, Ghassan, there's going to be a discussion over the next 12 months, a whole lot of meetings, you know, within our community and allies of our community about an LGBTQIA plus health strategy. You know, and the federal government has talked about it. Jed Kearney's talked about it. You know, Josh Burns has talked about it. Other MPs have talked about it. So, you know, the federal government and Nikki Bath. You know, there's a lot of work going on there, and hopefully we will land in a policy space, but also a funding space. That improves health outcomes for our community, but particularly it's got to improve outcomes for the more marginalised and the ones that are really missing out on the support and the access to services. So, you know, it concerns me that you've got that going on one side. On the other side, you've got, you know, these nongs, these bigots, these people that are driven by hate, trying to marginalise us, and basically they don't believe we should have access to any specialist services. How do we balance this, Ghassan? How do we, you know?
Yeah, look, I think it's worth just saying the incredible resilience and strength within our community is something that we should celebrate, and I don't want us to have a conversation where we don't also see that we're actually incredibly strong, resilient, and we have made great gains because we've worked together and we've supported each other. But I think that federal health strategy, which by the way is an Australian first and incredible commitment to, you know, $25 million I think was invested also in research. So it is a recognition that our community is facing unacceptable disparities in health. As we've known, particularly in mental health, in access to healthcare that meets our needs and is safe for us and non-judgmental for us to access. So in a whole gamut of areas, but particularly for trans and gender diverse people, they've been constantly under scrutiny, and their access to healthcare is actually amongst the poorest in this country. When you speak to clinicians and you speak to people who are on the front line, there are waiting lists for people to access. It's not like people are running out there and getting access to puberty blockers or hormone treatments at willy-nilly. You know, we're talking about months, if not years sometimes, of simply for the first appointment to see someone. So in the context of that debate, to be having these, you know, it's taking up all our time and filling up all this useless time of, instead of focusing on actually addressing health inquiries, a fruitless debate, which doesn't take us any further. So I don't think we should lose sight of the progress we've made, and I think the health strategy is an important place where we can actually engage in solutions and look forward to the future rather than talk around and repeat all the misinformation that we're hearing.
Yeah.
Ghassan, it's always wonderful to speak with you. We're nearly out of time. But what I would like to ask you is, if any of our listeners this morning wish to participate in this discussion in an affirmative way, what's the best way that they can do that?
So there are still some senators who haven't yet spoken on the motion, and the motion will come back at the end of the month for further debate. So if people are comfortable, and I appreciate that this isn't an easy thing for people to do, but if there are particular senators that they feel comfortable speaking with, it always pays to write a polite, small, personal email to someone they feel comfortable with about why their healthcare matters to them.
Yeah.
And particularly for trans and gender diverse people, we don't hear enough of the good stories, the stories of resilience and the stories of when healthcare is provided, what that means for people. So I think there's an opportunity there as well to talk to our members of parliament so that they are more immune to the kind of misinformation that they are being bombarded with at the moment.
When you say that there are a number of senators who have not spoken in Senate yet, can you name them?
Yeah, so I mean, there are, as I mentioned, the Liberal Party, for example, has granted a conscience vote to its members. We've heard from already Senator Birmingham and Senators Bragg voting against, or will be voting against the motion, but we haven't heard from a number of Victorian senators in the Liberal Party. We haven't heard yet from some members of the crossbench, although we know that some of them will also support. We'll support our community in opposing the motion, if I can put it that way. But what I would say is it can be intimidating. So people should pick a senator that they feel comfortable with. You can have a look at their track record. And if there are any particular senators, particularly given the Liberal Party has been given a conscience vote, there's an opportunity there to have a one-on-one conversation with someone who will have to make up their own mind.
Yeah. Good on you, Ghassan. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you also for the great work that you are doing on behalf of our communities via Equality Australia. That was Ghassan Kasisi from Equality Australia, who is the legal director. Macca.
There you go. And if you are going to write to a senator, don't write to Senator Ralph Babbel or Babbitt.
Well, I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I think it doesn't hurt for those who are opposed to hear from people from our side.
Mm.
We need to take a short break. We'll be back with our very next guest. This is the first of the two councillors that we've got in the studio. Steve Stakos, who's a councillor for the City of Kingston, will be here shortly.
Stay tuned.
We'll be back with so much more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.